So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 6, Texts 9 and 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ayuryamasya Mitrasya.
Ayuryamasya Mitrasya.
Parimokshasya Narada.
Parimokshasya Narada.
Insaya Niriter Mrityor.
Insaya Niriter Mrityor.
Nirayasya Gudang Smrita.
Nirayasya Gudang Smrita.
Ayu. The evacuating outlet.
The evacuating outlet.
Yamashya.
Yamashya.
The controlling deity of death. Mitrasya, of Mitra, Parimokshasya,
of
the evacuating hole,
Narada,
O Narada,
Hingsaya,
of envy,
Nivrite,
of misfortune.
Mrityo
of death.
Nirayasya
of hell. Gudam, the rectum.
Smrita
is understood. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O Narada, the evacuating outlet of the universal form of the Lord is the abode of the controlling deity of death, Mitra, and the evacuating hole in the rectum of the Lord is the place of envy, misfortune, death, hell, etc. Text 10. Parabhuter adharmasya tamashaschapi paschima najo nadadadi mang nadi nang cha Gotranam asti sanghiti. The back of the Lord is the place for all kinds of frustration and ignorance, as well as for immorality. From his veins flow the great rivers and rivulets, and on his bones are stacked the great mountains. Purport. In order to defy the impersonal conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a systematic analysis of the physiological and anatomical constitution of his transcendental body is given here. It is clear from the available description of the body of the Lord, his universal form, that the form of the Lord is distinct from the forms of ordinary mundane conception. In any case, he is never a formless void. Ignorance is the back of the Lord, and therefore the ignorance of less intelligent class of men is also not separate from his bodily conception. Since his body is the complete whole of everything that be, one cannot assert that he is impersonal only. On the contrary, the perfect description of the Lord holds that he is both impersonal and personal simultaneously. The personality of Godhead is the original feature of the Lord, and his impersonal emanation is but the reflection of his transcendental body. Those who are fortunate enough to have a view of the Lord from the front can realize his personal feature, whereas those who are frustrated and are thus kept on the ignorant side of the Lord, or in other words, those who have the view of the Lord from the back, realize him in his impersonal feature. So we have a choice. How we will see Krishna. We can see him from the front, we can see him from the back. Actually, you cannot avoid Krishna. Lord Brahma states his form is endless. So there's nowhere you can look actually where you're not actually connecting with Krishna. But the difficulty is we're coming through the back, you see. We're coming to the back side of the Lord, the ignorant side, to his material nature. And we're so foolish, we're actually thinking this side is better. If we have a choice between Krishna or Maya, we are inclined to take Maya. That's why we're here in this material existence. So some remedial measure is necessary to free us from our addiction to Maya. We actually think that sense gratification is more attractive than Krishna consciousness. You see, that's why we have material bodies. So we have to then see how we can come out of this madness, out of this psychotic condition of actually finding sense gratification more attractive than Krishna. So it's very nicely described by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. How to get out of this condition? He says, Sat Krishna nama chari sarita tapya vidya pitopita sharacha nasha nagrochikanu kintvandana nanidam kalasai vajushta svadikramad bhaviti tad galamula hantri. He says that the holy name, character, pastimes, etc. of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is destroyed at the root. See, there's two ways you can deal with a disease. You can deal with the symptoms. It's like cutting a weed off at the surface. You see, you may ask somebody to weed your garden, and he says, "Okay, I'll weed it." And he goes, "Ch-ch-ch-ch." He comes back, "I weeded your garden," and you look, and there's no weeds. Well, how did you do it so quickly? Well, you find out tomorrow because they only cut weeds off at the surface. He didn't pull them by the root. But when you can pull the weeds out by the root, they're finished. So this disease called avidya, ignorance, by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, this disease is pulled out, Rupa Goswami says, by the root. So that means a permanent cure, you see. When you can pull it out by the root, you've got a permanent cure. So that's why this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is a very, very important thing. Because this not only eliminates the symptoms of ignorance, but it goes to the very root cause of ignorance, which is envy. We couldn't stand that Krishna was the Supreme, therefore we became ignorant of his being the Supreme. So you wouldn't have to be disturbed by his supremacy anymore. So, by regularly associating with this wonderful, wonderful Hare Krishna mantra, which is Krishna himself, and learning how to relish the sweet flavor of Krishna, you see, then that taste we are presently getting from sense gratification, which we think is pretty good, we'll gradually realize actually it's not so good after all. It's really bitter poison. In other words, we've been so conditioned to taking bitter poison for millions of lifetimes, we think the bitter poison is very nice. But by reintroducing this connection with Krishna into our lives on a regular daily basis, and taking the instructions of the spiritual master with faith, that if I regularly chant these sweet names every day, then I'll become free from all of my miseries, which are due to ignorance. So one simply has to carefully, you see, the word carefully is given. That means not whimsically or not carelessly, but you really have to focus. You have to carefully chant. If we chant Hare Krishna, but we don't chant carefully, that means we commit so many offenses. That means we don't make much progress. A little progress is there, but not much. But if we carefully chant every day, then we'll make great progress. You can chant carefully or you can chant carelessly. It's a big difference. So, how do we get ourselves in the right mood, the proper disciplinary system that we impose upon ourselves and by intelligence to carefully chant every day? That's why you have to set aside quality time for your japa every day. Not that you just, it's less important than other things, you kind of squeeze it in here and there. No. You have to make your japa the most important thing you do every day. You see? Most important. This is my time to meet with Krishna. You see? This is my time to meet with the Lord. So let me do it with great care and attention. Completely, totally put my consciousness into it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada instructed one of my god sisters. He told her, when you chant japa, feel the presence of Krishna. You see? That's very meditative state. That's a mystical experience, actually. When you chant Hare Krishna, feel the presence of Krishna. But what about us poor souls who are so bewildered by the material energy? We can't feel the presence of Krishna when we chant. Then Prabhupada said, if you can't feel the presence of Krishna, then fix your mind on the name. See, that's second best. The first instruction is to feel the presence of Krishna. Well, I can't do that. I'm so spaced out and so bewildered. What can I do? Well, at least fix my mind on Krishna's name. And what will happen? If you dutifully fix your mind in Krishna's name, day after day, week after week, gradually, 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 you will feel the presence of Krishna. If you can't do the first thing, do the second thing. And that will gradually bring you to the first class plasma of chanting, where you actually feel the presence of Krishna. So, are there any questions? Written questions. Okay. Why God created us? Krishna, we can learn something about Krishna by studying our own natures. Do you like to be alone? No, we all like company. So Krishna, that we have that tendency because that same tendency is there in Krishna. Krishna likes to have some company, he wants to have loving relationships. Therefore, from himself he is emanating an infinite number of jiva souls with whom he can have an infinite number of loving relationships. So, the jiva comes from Krishna. He's the source of everything. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and as confirmed in the Srimad and the Brahma Samhita, Krishna is the source of everything. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna is the supreme controller. He has an eternal form full of bliss and knowledge. He has no origin. He's the origin of absolutely everything. And he's the cause of all causes, so let's confirm. What is our duty in the material world? To get out of this place and get back to Krishna as soon as possible. Please explain in detail what makes a pure soul fall down in the first place. Curiosity killed the cat. What would it be like if I was a Supreme? Well, curiosity kills again. Krishna guarantees you will not fall down twice. He doesn't say you won't fall down the first time. He never guarantees you won't fall down, period. He says you won't fall down a second time. Punarjanman vijayate. Once you go back from the material world, you won't fall down again. That's what he says. He doesn't say no one will ever fall down. He says no one will ever fall down after going back from this. Because once, you know, there's a saying, once burned, twice shy. It's like a little kid, you know. A little Amit, his mother always told him, Amit, they'll never, they have a gas stove in the kitchen, right? And that beautiful blue flame there. And he doesn't know anything about it, what fire means, but the mother tells him, Amit, whatever you do, don't stick your hand in the fire because it'll burn. He's thinking, why is mommy prohibiting me from this? So beautiful flame there on the stove. Why is she making this prohibition? So one day when mommy is out of the kitchen, Amit sticks his hand up there. He burns his finger. Will he ever do it again? No way. Is he? One time he may do it, but second time he will not do it. Is it not unfair that so many millions of persons don't know about Krishna? Now wait a minute, they wanted to forget about Krishna. How you can say unfair? They wanted to forget Krishna. Krishna fulfilled their desire. It's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Saham Hriji Sannavishto Mataksmatir Pkanam Apohanam Cha. I am the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. They wanted to forget Krishna, therefore he gave them what they wanted. So how you can blame Krishna? I beg to ask two questions. We came into Krishna consciousness after our child was born. Okay? This means that we did not follow the Garbhadham Sanskara process. Does this mean that we did not attract to Krishna consciousness? So what is the hope of such a child? Well, I was not born of parents who did any Garbhadham Sanskara. They didn't chant 15 rounds of japa. So there's hope. Preach the best you can. What is more important for a child, material education or Krishna education? What do you think? Is it more important to know about Krishna or more important to know about Maya? It's obvious. The most important thing is to be Krishna conscious. Spirit, soul are mentioned as part and parcel of Krishna. Does that mean that at some point in time we'd been separated from Krishna? No. We are part of Krishna eternally. But at the same time we are eternally separate from Krishna. We are called, Krishna has two types of expansions. He has the integrated expansions, which are the Vishnu tattvas, the incarnations of God. And he has the separated expansions, which is us. So, even though we are part of him because we are his expanded energy, and we are the separated expanded energy. So we are separate and one at the same time. Even after trying to chant carefully, it is very hard to keep the mind focused on the holy names. How to deal with this? Practice, 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 practice. Just imagine a little kid, you know, he wants to learn how to play the violin. And he first starts playing, you know, it's horrible. Everybody just closes their ears, they can't stand it, you know. He's playing the violin. But then a few years later, he's playing so beautifully, everybody's attracted. So, beginning, you know, we're like a kid learning to play the violin. It just sounds horrible. Our chanting is pathetic in the beginning. It's pathetic. But by regularly practicing, by devotedly chanting every day, you see, gradually, your chanting becomes very sweet, very sublime. How to avoid Vaishnava aparad while you're living with the devotees? You have to worship the Vaishnavas. Take them as you. That's stated actually by Narottam Das Thakur. Anande balo hari bhaja vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade manjayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, worship the holy Vrindavan Dham, and worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So, you have to always worship them. You are my, bow down at their feet. I always try to serve them with love. They are your worshipful deities, the Vaishnavas. My mind is constantly tossing me. I am afraid that negative thoughts will ruin my life. What should I do? Mine is like, in Texas, we used to have what was called bucking broncos. In other words, in the early days in Texas, maybe in Australia too, I don't know, but in Texas there was all these wild horses running free on the prairies. And they would capture these wild horses and put them in a corral, and they would train those horses how to accept a rider on their back. In the beginning they refused to accept it. So when the cowboy gets on the back, he called a bucking bronco because he'd buck his rear legs in the air like you crack a whip, you know, poof. He would like, boom. He would pop the rider off his back by taking his rear legs and throwing him in the air. They're called bucking broncos, you see. But the cowboy, he's more determined than the bucking bronco is. So eventually the cowboy wins. You just got to keep, even though he's being tossed off by that bucking bronco again and again, he keeps getting back on, until the horse finally says, okay, I give up, I surrender. I'll become a tame horse. You can, you know, guide me and tell me what to do from now on. So our minds are like bucking broncos. They keep tossing us away from the holy name. But we have to just, no matter how many times we're tossed away, we just got to keep coming back. No mind, I'm not going to do this to me again. Now you have to just stop this nonsense of tossing me away from the name, and you have to learn how to fix yourself on the name. And this way you got to be more determined than your mind is. How to remember Krishna 24 hours a day. Well, the Maha Mantra is your secret. You see, Prabhupada said, always chant. He told some Japanese boys to always chant the Maha Mantra. When you're taking a bath, chant the Maha Mantra. When you're walking down the street, chant the Maha Mantra. When you're riding in the bus, chant the Maha Mantra. When you're doing something with your hands, chant the Maha Mantra. If you will put as many Maha Mantras as you possibly can squeeze into your 24 hours on your beads and off the beads, then you will be able to remember Krishna constantly. And someone said, isn't that offensive chanting? You know, to chant while you're taking your bath or something else? No. How can it be offensive when the Prabhupada ordered them to do that? Your japa, that's full attention. But other times you can chant while you're doing something else. While you're, you know, putting on your dhoti, you can chant Hare Krishna. It's not offensive to chant while you're doing other things at the same time. How to maintain enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness? Well, my secret is, Prabhupada ordered me to always be enthusiastic. Direct order from Srila Prabhupada in a letter. He said, I can see you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. This is why I was a young devotee, like 22-year-old kid. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So if you will understand that by being enthusiastic, I will attract the mercy of Krishna, the blessings of Krishna, then you can always be enthusiastic. And not treat it as just an austerity. What's wrong with austerity? Do you have some problem with austerity? Austerity is the wealth of the Brahmins. Do you want to be wealthy or you want to be impoverished? Do you want to be a Brahmin or you want to be a Shudra? You see? This is a movement. We're training you to become a Brahmana. For a Brahmana, austerity is his wealth. The more he can embrace austerity, he becomes opulently rich. You see? So what do you have against austerity? Austerity is nectar. Rising early, you see, chanting the holy names, regulating my eating and sleeping, only having sex or procreating children, otherwise being strict brahmachari. These are austerities, and they are ecstatic. You have to embrace the austerities.
What is the difference between Buddhism and Krishna consciousness?
Buddhism, the perfection of Buddhism, Prabhupada explains, is to go to Mahesh Dham, situated between Devi Dham, the mundane world, and the Vaikuntha realm, is a place called Mahesh Dham, which is a destination of those who achieve the nirvana of Buddhism, Prabhupada explained. So the difference is, by Krishna consciousness, you go to Goloka Vrindavan, and by Buddhism, if you perfect it, you will go to Mahesh Dham. That's the difference. You won't be able to be part of Krishna's pastime. Are we under control of ourself or Lord Krishna in the spiritual world? Actually, in the spiritual world, Lord Krishna is under your control. That's what it is. When you go to the spiritual world, Krishna is under your control. He becomes controlled by his devotee's love.
Thanks for your enlightening class. Could you please explain how we can feel the presence of Krishna while chanting?
Well, you have to just remember Krishna is present. At least remind yourself, Krishna is present now. Let me chant as if this name is Krishna himself. Let me give respect to the name as if Krishna is present. And that way, if you do that steadily, you can gradually begin to feel his presence. I am a condition. Gotta add anything? Just huh?
Kali Yoga, Krishna has appeared in his holy name. So Krishna is present when you chant the holy name.
Yeah. I am a conditioned soul. So many faults. How can I make this most important decision of selecting a spiritual master myself? It says that your spiritual master will be revealed. Please enlighten. Well, there's many different ways you can do it. What I often explain to people is this. Rupa Goswami says that Adau Garashvayam Sadharma Prichcha. He says, this is in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, the beginning of the path of bhakti is to take shelter of a spiritual master, and then you must inquire from him about how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So I advise, just be practical. See, where is that spiritual master where I can have the best opportunity to inquire? Because that's what you're supposed to do after you take shelter of a guru. You're supposed to inquire from your spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's one way of looking at it. Another way, who inspires you the most? So there's different ways you can analyze it. But that's, I often advise in that way, see where you have the best opportunity to inquire. Is the quality of chanting important or quantity? Number of 16 important. Why does that have to be either or? That's my question. Why do you think it has to be either or? Why not both? Why both of them can't? Can only one thing be important? Why both cannot be important? Actually, both are very important. Actually, it's stated, if you can chant Krishna's name one time with perfect quality, you achieve all perfection instantly. So someone wrote me, they said, why do I have a chant 16 rounds? Can I just say the name one time every day? Isn't that enough? You know, chant one Hare Krishna mantra every day.
And the answer is that actually because our quality is not good enough, therefore quantity is required so we can practice to bring our quality up to the proper standard. So quantity is important because we are lacking quality. By that quantitative chanting, gradually, there's more room here for sitting, right in this area here. There's plenty of room in the front over here. You all can sit over here. You can just walk through here and you can walk right here if you want. Just come through here and come right this way. There's plenty of room for those who are in the door back there. Yeah, come on. Got room up here. So, that's why. And is 8 rounds better of 8 rounds of good quality rounds better than 16 rounds of careless chanting? The thing is, your 8 rounds are also careless. Now don't kid yourself. You need to do at least 16 to bring your quality up to the proper standard in due course. Because Prabhupada ordered to chant 16. If you're not doing that, of course in the beginning it's okay as you're gradually, but I'm of a different school actually. I'm from the school that, the first day I got my beads, I did 16 rounds, and that's it. There was no looking back. Somebody said, well, you know, I wanted to chant 16 rounds, and my authorities told me I'm not allowed to yet because I hadn't been chanting 8 long. And come up this way, because, yeah, there's a space right here, yeah. My authorities told me that I'm not allowed to chant 16 yet because I hadn't been chanting 8 long enough. No, it's not like that. If you can chant 16, do it. I chanted 16 from day one. I never looked bad, you see.
If one chants sincerely even one mantra, they will want to chant more anyway.
That's right. If you chant one mantra with proper consciousness, you'll be so intoxicated, you want to chant 24 hours a day. Not that, well, I got my chanting done. I said, I purely chanted Hare Krishna one time, and now I don't have to chant anymore, thank God. No. When you chant one round properly, you will be so enlivened, you won't want to stop. Wow, I'm getting so much nectar. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Why God sometimes describes, why is God sometimes described as formless? Because he has a formless aspect. That is part of his nature, but it's not, his formless nature is subordinate to his form nature. We really want to know how you became a devotee of Krishna and what attracted you to Krishna being born in a different culture. Well, this culture I was born in stinks. It stinks, to be honest with you. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stomach the material culture. And I got to college, you know. My dad said, son, your college days are going to be the happiest days of your life. I never forget the day he dropped me off of the dorm. It was the most miserable feeling I'd ever had in my whole life. So what? Here I was at little Austin College in Sherman, Texas, a little liberal arts school in a dry county, no liquor in that county, and studying hard, making good grades, but I didn't see any point to the whole thing. Here I am working hard to make good grades, to get a good degree, to get a good job, to get a good wife, to get a good house, to get a good car, to get good kids, and get a very nice coffin. Hey, this is not enough. It's got to be more to life than this. It couldn't be this bleak. But there was nobody who could tell me, you see. So I had to go on a search. I spent about 5 years looking for what is the real purpose of this whole thing called life. Yeah?
Why do we think we are born in a different culture because our gotra is only one?
Because what?
Appearing from Krishna.
Because what?
Our gotra is only one.
Gotra.
So everybody has the same culture.
Yes, ultimately we're all in Krishna gotra. That's right. That's right.
So anyway, because I really was sincerely looking for a way out of this madhouse, Krishna blessed me with the.
Could you explain it? Why we think that we are of different culture?
Yeah, the whole thing is we're all in one material culture. That's the bottom. If you really want to look at it, it's all one material culture right now on this planet. The Hindu culture is completely materialistic as well. It's all one culture. The whole thing is material culture. If I am envious of Krishna, and that is the reason I am here, so how is it sure that I will not be envious again if I go back to the Lord? Once burned, twice shy, as I explained. What is the importance of Gayatri Mantra? It is a further enhancement to help you chant Hare Krishna better. The Hare Krishna Mantra is more powerful. The Gayatri Mantra is the supplementary mantra to help you when you reach that stage that you're qualified to chant it by having surrendered to the bona fide spiritual master. You become initiated. You're strictly following the vows to chant 16 rounds of all the four legged principles. Now your Gayatri is given as an extra enhancement. Anyone can chant Gayatri at any time you're asking, but it doesn't have the same potency. You're not going to get the same result. The Hare Krishna mantra is the mantra for this age, according to the Kali Santavana Upanishad. So if you want just to go off chanting Gayatri, you're not going to get any benefit, really. If you want to awaken pure love of God, then you have to focus on chanting Hare Krishna. And then Gayatri can be given when you're qualified to chant it, and that Gayatri will be a million times more powerful than your Gayatri independently chanted. How to apply karma yoga in an office environment full of politics. Take the income you earn from your job and engage it in Krishna service. Krishna and his name are non-different. So how come the Sith Goswamis were always in the mood of looking for Krishna? Because looking for Krishna is sweeter than meeting Krishna. You know that? To be separated from your beloved and hankering to meet your beloved is more ecstatic than actually meeting your beloved. Therefore, they kept themselves always in that mood. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Because that was more. There was more rus, more juice, more flavor, more nectar in that rasa than there was in actually meeting Krishna. Hey Radhe Vrajade Vike Chalalite He Nanda Sunukutaha Shri Govardhana Kalpapatavantaletalindimane Kutaha. Where are you, Krishna? Where are you, Radharani? Where are you, son of Nanda Maharaj? Are you on Govardhan? Are you in the groves on the bank of the Jamuna? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? That was their mood. And Prabhupada innocently points out there are people in Vrindavan still looking for Krishna. And Prabhupada says actually that intense desire to see Krishna in Vrindavan is the same as meeting Krishna. This cannot be understood through mundane logic, but is experienced by realization, Prabhupada explains. What is the importance of Vaishnava etiquette, especially the ones which are dealing with external behavior like bowing down, doing bona fide kirtan only because if I have nice feelings for Guru, Vaishnava and Krishna in my heart, why do I have to show it externally? Oh, wait a minute. You may have some nice feelings in your heart, but I can tell you right now, you're not a pure devotee. And you got a lot of dirt in there, you see. You got tons of dirt still sitting in your heart. Instead of thinking, In spite of your thinking, you have a very nice attitude in your heart. I can tell you, Prabhu, you got a lot of dirt in there. You got a lot of dirt. You got lust, you got anger, you got greed, you got madness, illusion, and envy. You need to do these external things to purify yourself. Don't get some haughty idea that you're a pure devotee, you see. You don't need to do all these etiquettes. Don't be so puffed up.
If you're a human, if you have a feeling inside, you will want to bring that gift, you want to bow down, you want to...
The etiquettes will naturally happen if you really have the nice feelings in your heart that you claim you have. You will automatically do these etiquettes if you have the nice feelings you claim. That means your feelings aren't as nice as you claim them to be, Prabhu. Telling you the truth. Sorry if I had to be a little heavy, but sometimes we have to be heavy. Let the liver the medicine. Do you see Krishna? Oh yeah. What does he look like? Oh, he's so beautiful. So beautiful. Okay. How can I kill my ego? Why do you want to kill your ego? Ego is your... The Maya bodies want to kill their egos. Vaishnavas don't want to kill their egos. Why do you want to kill your ego? Ego means identity. There's two. There's the real ego and the false ego. If you said, how can I kill my false ego? Then it's a very good question. If you say, how can I kill my ego? It's an ignorant question. The ego means your identity. The Vaishnava has a real ego that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. So to answer your question as you should have asked it, you can kill your false ego by turning on your real ego that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Brahma Samhita says that Lord Krishna's body is Nabi Yovanam Cha. Why does the Daitacharya, who is Mahavishnu, show symptoms of old age? It is transcendental lila. That's what it is. If we reason we don't fall a second time is based on fear of what we suffer in the material world, how is Vaikuntha free from anxiety? No, it doesn't have to be based on fear. It's based on knowledge. How much of my life is being guided and directed by Krishna? Every bit of it. But you're taking it through the material energy right now. That's the problem. Krishna has two ways of guiding you, through the material energy and the spiritual energy. So you're taking it through the material energy right now. That's the problem. And to a certain extent, you're taking it through the spiritual energy. That's why you're here in the temple. So right now, we're taking a little bit spiritual and mostly material. We have to gradually transform it to purely spiritual. Is chanting the Yuga Dharma only in the Kali Yuga or in every Kali Yuga? In this Kali Yuga or in every Kali Yuga? Actually, Prabhupada explains how Lord Chaitanya... Well, every time that Krishna appears, Lord Chaitanya also appears. From what I understand, it's every Kali Yuga. Otherwise, what's the hope? How can I get the spiritual master? Well, Prabhupada is your spiritual master automatically, and you follow his teachings and follow his guidelines, and then by his mercy you will come to the point of having a Diksha Guru who connects you formally with Prabhupada's Sampradaya. You just have to follow Prabhupada's teachings, be a part of his movements, work nicely with the devotees, work with the temple authorities very nicely. And then will be revealed who your Diksha Guru should be in due course. Is it valid to ask every advice from our spiritual master, even for small, small things? What Prabhupada told me, because actually in the beginning, they asked everything of Prabhupada, because nobody knew anything. In the beginning, every little detail, because not even one, Baba was the only devotee in the movement. There was one devotee in the movement, and that was Prabhupada. Everybody else was basically karmi, hippie, bunch of hippie boys. they had to ask Prabhupada every little thing, every little small thing. But gradually, you know, people became trained up. And when I joined, you could write Prabhupada any question you wanted, you could write Prabhupada and ask him. But then Prabhupada was seeing it was taking too much time away from translation work as the movement got bigger. So then he made a policy that you should ask the authorities, you know, the temple president, the sannyasis, GBCs. But I took a chance because I'd been getting a lot of instructions from him personally, and I really felt that was important for me. So I took a chance and I wrote him anyway, and he told me that if there's any urgent matter, he is always happy to hear from his beloved disciples. So it's better to ask the small things to the, you know, your God brothers, God sisters, your other devotees. It's better to the small things, but in urgent things, you should go to your spiritual master. That's what Prabhupada told me. If there's something really urgent that you can't get answered, spiritual master is always there to guide you. The thing is, you can get guidance by hearing his lectures, by reading his writings. In this way, you can get so many things answered just by hearing. Is a second initiation necessary to go back to Godhead? No. But if you refuse to take second initiation, when you're actually, and you've been, then that could be an impediment. That you don't want to surrender to the spiritual master wants you to take a second initiation and say, no, I'm not going to take it, Guru Maharaj. That's an impediment. But you, maybe you left your body before it was granted to you. Then if you're following your first initiation vows sincerely, that will be sufficient. But if you're actually refusing to take it out of some stubbornness, that will be an impediment if you're going back to Godhead. What is the perfection of Hatha Yoga? Looks like a Hatha Yoga. The perfection of Hatha Yoga is to come to Krishna consciousness. The Lord's, anything you want to add, just kind of let me know. So the Lord's body is all transcendental. Then why does today's verse mention the Lord's body being the source of envy, misfortune, and death? This is his universal form being described, not his additional transcendental form. My desire is not to go back to Godhead, but to stay back and preach. Is that a correct desire? That's pretty nice. That's a nice desire. But the perfect desire is to say, Krishna, whatever you want to do with me. You see, what if Krishna wants you back in the loop for some reason? Oh, Krishna, no, I don't want to do what you want me to do. No. The perfect desire is, Krishna, whatever you want me to do. If you want me to stay here and preach, I'm willing. If you want me to come back to Goloka and be a cowherd boy, a cowherd girl, a cow, a calf, a flute, a blade of grass, whatever you want me to do, I'm ready. That's the perfect mood, you see. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm ready. That's the perfect mood. Okay, we get down to the last two questions. What is karma kanda and karma yoga? Karma kanda is the ritualistic portion of the Vedas in which you do rituals for achieving material sense gratification. Karma yoga is the beginning, it's completely different. Karma yoga is when you take your tendency to act in a certain way and you engage that in the service of Krishna. And that's the beginning of bhakti. Karma kanda is the opposite of bhakti. And karma yoga is the beginning of bhakti. Can you please explain the story of Sudama, the poor friend who was cherished by Lord Sri Krishna? It's actually there in the Krishna book, the details, but this basically Sudama was a godbrother of Krishna. They were together in the ashram of Sandipani Muni.
They both went to gather the firewood in the forest. Guru Mata, the wife of Sudama, asked them to gather firewood, so the two of them went into the forest on Guru Mother's instructions. And there was a storm. They were trapped in the forest together at night. So there was a certain bondage. The two boys had been trapped in the forest at night in the storm. Just imagine you and Krishna in that condition. What kind of a relationship? Just like any of you have been through brahmacharis ashram, you know, sometimes you really make strong bond with your brahmachari. Some brahmachari associates, you become very strong feeling of bond with them. So they were very bonded from their brahmachari days. But now Sudama is a poor brahmana, and Krishna is the king in Dwarka, you see, opulent. So the wife kept saying, why don't you go see your friend Krishna? They were living in poverty. Actually, he was practically starving to death. They were so poor. Why don't you go see your friend Krishna? The wife is thinking that maybe you can get some material opulence and get out of this poverty condition. Sudama had no interest in any material opulence. But his wife kept saying, you should go, you should go. All right, I'll go. And but what to take? And I have to take some gift. We have nothing to bring but a little chipped rice they found. Inexpensive chipped rice, a little bit of, wrapped up in a cloth. So he brought that. And so he came to Dwarka, finally got in. Krishna was so happy to see him. He seated him on his bed. Krishna offered arati. He worshipped him. He offered him an arati. He bathed his feet. Krishna was so happy to see his beloved godbrother Sudama. And then, what do you have there? And he was ashamed to even show it. It was so meager. But they took a little bit of that chipped rice, and then the goddess of fortune said, don't take any more, Krishna, because whatever you've taken now, I have already had to provide unlimited opulence to him. And if you take any more, I won't be able to reciprocate. And so he went back then to his home, and it wasn't... Everything was changed. Instead of that old torn-down hut, there was a big palace. And he couldn't see his wife anywhere. Where happened to my wife? And there was this beautiful goddess in beautiful clothing. That's my wife now. instead of a starving, emaciated woman in rags, he saw this beautiful goddess. That's my wife. This big palace. And actually, he lived in opulence his whole life. After that, he lived in great opulence, you see. But he wasn't carried away by the opulence, because he simply loved his beloved Krishna. And his heart was always for Krishna. So, one last question. All right.
This shows that giving Krishna a little bit, one can live very satisfactorily throughout the one's life. If we give a little bit to Krishna, then we can live happily, joyfully with him.
Give a little bit to Krishna and live happily ever after. Yeah? That's what he did.
So many times people ask, why do we have to do externally things? But this is the proof that if we give externally, certainly, because everything belongs to Krishna, even then, if we give little bit to Krishna, then Krishna gives us unlimitedly.
Yeah. Why Prabhupada is called Jagadguru? And we find that many gurus in the history. Actually, they're all Jagadgurus. Any pure devotee is Jagadguru. A pure devotee can deliver the whole universe. It's described in the Chaitanya Bhagavad. That's why they're called Jagadguru. One pure devotee can deliver the entire universe. Therefore, Jagadguru. So there are many. Prabhupada is Jagadguru. Bhakti Siddhanta Jagadguru, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And you know what Prabhupada told us? It's pretty amazing. But he states right there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says any devotee who can chant the holy names of the Lord without offense becomes Jagadguru. And then his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. So Prabhu, now you must become Jagadguru by purely chanting the holy names, Madanji. You must become Jagadguru.
That's what Prabhupada wants. He wants us all to become pure chanters of the holy names. So we're far from it right now. We have to admit it. We've got so many namaparads. That's the goal. We should try for that position when we're absolutely pure in our chanting and we can have a powerful, powerful impact on the entire universe. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Ishvara Srimad Sankarshan Dasa Dakari ki
jai.